Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway. And we come to you today. I said we were going to talk about football. Not the most exciting of reasons to talk about football. A couple of serious negatives for K-State football at this point in time with health matters, which is never great, especially in the case of George Fitzpatrick, which is more of a not necessarily it's physical, but not in the way that you know, you expect football issues to be where his body is certainly ailing, but it's not like a broken bone or something like that. It's something far more serious. So we'll get into that and kind of the impact of K-State's situation, because the two guys we're going to talk about today is Fitzpatrick on the offensive line and Cub Patton at kicker, which come at probably two of the three most interesting positions entering the season in terms of K-State having to kind of revamp and buff up what they can do there. And so we'll talk more so about the impacts of what is going on at those positions now, because you factor these guys out for the most part, you would assume, at least for the time being, less about what is actually going on with these guys, because to some extent they're medical matters that, you know, that can stay with them on a personal level, and you don't need to go into that. Especially, I mean, that's I know it probably came from a good place, but I did make the comment in the thread about George Fitzpatrick over on KSO about his former Ohio State teammate that put the tweet out there that was like, you know, prayers and all this woofer, and not going to go into it because of respect for his family, but it's like, well, you're making a very private matter now all of a sudden public. And honestly, that's probably the sole reason why K-State and the Fitzpatrick family had to release a statement yesterday. So let's start there with George Fitzpatrick, the Ohio State transfer. He was raved about at Media Day just 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago right now, we were probably sitting there talking to Chris Klieman, and he made it clear multiple times that day that George Fitzpatrick was going to be the left tackle for K-State this season, that it was pretty clear cut that he had made himself the best offensive lineman on the team to this point in time. But sometime after that point, and then probably within the last week, something took place where a medical situation arose, and George Fitzpatrick is still recovering from that. This is the statement that K-State released yesterday. George had a medical situation to which the training staff quickly responded. He is improving every day, and we appreciate all who have cared for and supported him as he continues to recover. So when you get something like that, and it's a medical situation and not like, hey, he got injured or he got hurt here, it sets it up to be a little bit more significant than he'll be back in a couple of weeks. I don't think that's known at this point in time. And I think you have to operate, if you're K-State, on the side of we're probably not going to have him for a little bit. So unfortunate from just the human and personal side of this that George Fitzpatrick is having to go through something like this. And, you know, it's not to be insensitive, but then there is also the football side where K-State's still going to play a football game a month and a day from now against Iowa State to start their season in Ireland. Like, they're going to have to do this, and they are now without the guy that was penciled in to be their left tackle and probably looking like their strongest offensive lineman this season. So what kind of situation does this put K-State in your eyes, Drew?
I think that it is a situation that it's going to be one of those things that I think gets kind of day by day, K-State figures more and more out because, you know, you had your starting left tackle. And first off, I mean, it's a scary deal. Anytime that you hear the term medical situation instead of like injury or something like that, it's very scary when that's the first thing that you hear. So first, I think that's everybody should just be hoping that George Fitzpatrick recovers and we end up seeing him on the field eventually. But in terms for K-State, it's probably something that you're going to see day by day. They're going to try and figure this out because left tackle is probably the second most important position on the field behind quarterback. So now it's going to be who can really fill in there. And we talked about it a little bit at the time that, you know, getting somebody like JV Nelson and Terrence Enos after the spring, might end up being important down the line. Well, now those two guys become very important, because how can you your best five on the field? Is it going to be, we talked about JB Nelson maybe being the starting right tackle snap one in Ireland. Now does he become the left tackle? And do you kind of adjust there? John Pastore was somebody that was raved about a lot during Big 12 media days as well. Does he become the starting left tackle? He's had some injury problems in the past, but seems to be fully recovered by now. Does he become the starting left tackle? Does Andrew Linegang, who has played everywhere at K-State, but has rarely started.
Also had his own medical situations in the past.
Does he become the starting left tackle? Like there are a lot of guys that they can throw there, which is a good thing, because we talked about, and Chris Klieman has talked about, that they think that they can play eight or nine guys along the offensive line. I mean, the one guy that I didn't even really mention, because I think that he's probably too young to start off at left tackle, but like Gus Hawkins could play left tackle if that's how they get their best five on the field. It becomes now, how can you really piece this together until Fitzpatrick is able to play again, if he's able to play again? So that's kind of where I think that it goes from here for K-State. And it's something that now you look and it becomes a very important position that K-State's got to really shore up, because they play, like you said, in 31 days. So like they got to figure it out relatively soon.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate position for them to be in, obviously, from like the football side, you get that, but even more so because, you know, you get a person like George Fitzpatrick in that comes to K-State and has the idea of what he's going to do and what he's going to be here, and it gets derailed by something that is not what you typically expect when you're out on a football field. So that is something to keep in mind for K-State, and something that they're going to have to figure out starting today as they get their fall camp underway in the middle of summer, as people like to always point out. But
you sounded like Kellis there.
Well, it is one of those things. July is still very summer to me. August is still very summer to me. But K-State will be getting ready for, you know, Thursday. There's going to be the first look that media is going to get at an open practice. And then next week, Chris Klieman will have his press conference to open the season. And that's going to be now all of a sudden a really interesting conversation, as opposed to just kind of your mundane open of the season type deal, especially since you would have just talked to him a couple weeks ago. So that's something to keep an eye on, in K-State now having to figure out the offensive line, where after being in Texas, it seemed like they had solidified probably three of the five spots at the very least. Well, now not only are you down to two of the five, but then like you're talking about, you might have to start to question, okay, do you have to shuffle around where those other two guys are? So we'll watch to see how the K-State offensive line situation plays out, and certainly more than anything, wish the best for George Fitzpatrick going through this, because yeah, at this stage, I don't think you really just care if he's playing football again. You hope that he can get recovered and just live life normally. So there we go with that unfortunate topic. And then on to the next, and we kind of alluded to this because we figured something was up when they added a kicker out of the blue from the JUCO ranks that will be in Manhattan and on the team this season. But Cub Patton is also recovering, apparently. He made a post on social media today or yesterday where he was very clearly in the hospital and recovering from some form of, you would assume, a procedure or something to get taken care of there. And he goes from all indications being that he was probably going to win the kicking job this year to replace Chris Tennant, especially when you look to see how his name is coming up, and then all of a sudden he wasn't mentioned at all. We noticed that, you know, Phil Steele always puts out his depth chart before the year for every team. And he does that because he talks to basically every coach in the country. And he very confidently had Cub Patton as the number one on there, and even mentioned that they're going to go to a true freshman to be their kicker this season to replace Tennant. And now all of a sudden he's dropped out of it. So K-State, it seems like, will probably be without Cub Patton this season, based on how they've talked about. You can then redshirt him, and he's got 4 years after that. And certainly K-State likes what they have there, but they're going to have to learn how to get through the kicking situation without him, and that's why you end up in this spot. So another one of those positions where there are major question marks about what it's going to look like, and maybe even more so than offensive line. Like, the question marks on offensive line is just, who is it that's going to be there? I think for the most part, people think there's enough talent in that room that will eventually bust through, where you've got at least five guys that you trust on the field. There's a real chance that you go through the entire season without a kicker that you truly believe in. And that's scary, because we saw K-State do it for half a season in 2022, and it very easily could have cost them a Big 12 title that they ultimately won.
Yeah, it is not a great spot right now at kicker. I mean, from the moment that Cub Patton committed and flipped his commitment from Air Force, all I'd heard is how much the K-State really liked him, and that they thought that he was going to be the starter as soon as they flipped him from Air Force. I mean, they liked him so much that very rarely does a high school kicker get a full scholarship. And Cub Patton got a full scholarship to help him in the process to flip from Air Force. So they really liked him. But on social media, he did post something post-surgery. And then he had another post where he was back home in Texas, I believe, and had a leg brace on from post-surgery. So you've got to imagine that having a kicker go through a surgery on his legs probably means he's going to be out for at least most of the year, if not all. Because even if it's his plant leg, like, it really
doesn't matter which leg it is. Like, that might, you know, one of the few positions there where it doesn't matter. Like, you can have if it was another kicker, you say, he broke his arm or something. Doesn't matter, whatever, fine. He could be out there a day after having surgery, probably. But you can't do that with the leg.
No, a leg problem in a kicker is never a great sign. And then it just becomes like, what do you really have with Leighton Simmering and Luis Rodriguez? Luis Rodriguez was probably as good of a kicker as you could possibly imagine to get this late in the process. I believe he was like 19 of 24, hit a couple from 50 plus, hit a 53 yarder. Like, he's got a big leg, and it's going to come down to how much do you really trust those two guys in a game situation. There are a few like position battles where I am just fascinated to see what ends up happening. And some of them like aren't like true position battles, because you're going to see rotation, like defensive end. Like, I'm intrigued to see who ends up like taking snap one, but there's going to be enough rotation in there that it's not really going to matter. Backup quarterback is another one that I'm like, ooh, what's really going to happen there? Corner is another one, but there's going to be a lot of rotation. Well, kicker, 98% of the time, you're only sending one of those guys out there. Who is going to take the first kick in Ireland is a fascinating question, because I don't know if anybody really knows yet.
Are you even in the point where you're going to kick that much in Ireland? Like, would you go into it with a game plan right now if you're K-State and say, if it's inside of fourth and five, we're going for it every time, even if we think we're in field? Like, maybe not if you're at like the 25 yard line, I guess. Maybe you would say, hey, well, we trust this enough. But like, if you're at the 30, the 33, like, you get to that range where you start to up it and get close to 50, like, are you trusting a longer kick in that situation for them? And especially, like, you're probably expecting that's going to be wet grass. Like, that game always seems to be have some moisture there. Like, there's going to be some things going on that I just think the philosophy this year, and you would hope and expect that the offense is supposed to be good enough with Avery Johnson and Jace Brown and Dylan Edwards and Joe Jackson and these new receivers, that you probably aren't in a position where you need to kick a ton of field goals. And even if you are, you can say, nah, let's bypass that and let's try and go for it and get the first down.
Yeah, I would imagine for the first few games, even you might see K-State go for it on fourth down and field goal range if it's close enough that they feel confident enough that they could just go for it. I mean, you're returning your quarterback, you have explosive weapons all over the field. You should be able to go for it and make it if it's like fourth and three or even fourth and five. Because you're at a position now where I don't know what's really going to happen when anybody kicks the ball.
So,
and you also had, not only are you breaking in a new kicker, remember a lot of what happened last year, you had a long snapping problem.
And like, a holding problem.
A holding problem. Like, you had so many problems with just the field goal operation last year, and that was with a stud kicker and Chris Tennant. Now you have two guys that are very inexperienced. You had snapping and holding problems last year. Is it worth it to just go for it a lot? I think that it might be.
So, for reference, in the Big 12 championship season of 2022, K-State attempted 25 field goals that season. The first 14 were by Chris Tennant. He was 9 of 14 in that stretch. He hit everything from in the 20 to 29 range. He was 4 of 6 from 30 to 39, and he was 0 of 3 beyond 40. So that, I mean, that right there, that gets you to that 23, like that 23 yard line, basically, where you're like, oh, okay, here we go. That's 40 plus. You go the next year though, when Ty Zentner's gone after he took over and he goes 11 of 11, also made every one of his extra points. Cause that's the thing too. Chris Tennant was 23 of 25 on extra points during that season. So Ty Zentner didn't miss a kick. And so you could go to that a little bit more often, especially when you go and factor in Zentner was, he made three field goals north of 40, and one of those was from 53 that he made. And obviously, you trusted him to go out and end the game early against TCU. Now, the following year, when you go back to Chris Tennant, though, K-State's field goal attempts dropped all the way down to 14. Tennant was 11 of 14 that season. And that was that 2023 team, which obviously good. There were some positives to what they did offensively, but probably not as dangerous or good as 2022. Last year, you've got the faith back in Chris Tennant. The field goal attempts were bumped up north of 20. So they got to 21 attempts last season. So I think that kind of shows you where their mindset is. And I think Chris Klieman's gotten more aggressive over the years. I also think it's easier for him to be more aggressive now when you have a quarterback like Avery Johnson back there, where if you're calling something to be a pass, you still know at the end of the day, you've got a chance you end up running for a first down because of how talented he is or some of these other things. I would guess that unless one of these guys, Leighton Simmering or Luis Rodriguez, comes out and has made a massive transformation in the last couple of weeks and then this next month, I bet K-State kicks under 20 field goals this season.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet, and I'm kind of on the side of rolling the dice more on fourth down, even if you have a stud kicker, because, I mean, it's just simple math.
Yeah.
Six is better than three.
And real quick, another element to throw in here, the 2021 season where K-State used three different place kickers, they were 12 of 18 on field goals that season, only kicked 18 field goals that year. Tayton Winkle was 7 of 9, Chris Tennant was 5 of 8, and Ty Zentner was 0 of 1. So
it is going to be fascinating to see what they do. And I don't think that we're going to really know on the opening kickoff, because I would imagine that Simon McLennan is going to be the guy that does kickoffs again, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it ends up playing out, but it's something to keep in mind there, and also unfortunate because once again, you found a guy that you thought, oh, this is, this is kind of a godsend for us. Like, we've got our guy here. We don't have to worry about this spot. We're confident. And then something out of your control takes place. And you now are scrambling at kicker, which Chris Klieman feels like he's probably had to do that a lot over the last couple of years.
And just frustrating because of the timing, because Cub Patton, I believe, got all the way through spring football, I think that he got hurt like relatively before the Luis Rodriguez
Yeah, it had to have been probably within like a week and a half of each other, I'd imagine, something like that, because you're probably accelerating that timeline. But I don't know. We'll see how it plays out for K-State. Just two unfortunate situations that the Wildcats are dealing with right now, not just for what it means for them as a team, but also for those guys as individuals having to recover from obviously some serious injuries. So that will do it for today. Reminder that the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic is getting close. Tomorrow will mark 1 month out until K-State and Iowa State kick off the 2025 football season in Dublin, Ireland. August 23rd is the kick date for the Cats and Clones. You can go to cats2ireland.com if you're still on the fence or trying to think, I want to experience this in the best way possible.
No offense, but if you're on the fence right now, you better figure it out like relatively soon.
Well, you know, you've got time. You can figure something out always.
You don't have a ton of time.
Yeah, but maybe you're already going to go over there and you say, I want to get a little like exciting, like hospitality. I want to get treated right over there. You can still do that. So you can go get the K-State Big 12 ticket and tailgate package and get your official Irish style tailgate for both K-State and Iowa State fans at the RDS Balls Bridge. Start your game day early, 4 hours before the game starts, at this exclusive event. Experience traditional Irish entertainment, guest speakers, and an outdoor cookout atmosphere. Official merchandise and commemorative souvenirs are also included. So there you go. At the end of the Big 12 tailgate, guests will have the opportunity to be a part of the official band march to the stadium. Some of you I know love the pride of Wildcat Land. How could you pass up that opportunity? And despite all the drama, it does sound like they are going to be there. So that is what you have going on there with Aer Lingus in the College Football Classic. We will get out of here for today. Back again tomorrow, 1 month out from Ireland. We'll have to do something to kind of commemorate that tomorrow. And then Thursday, I've already kind of decided I think we need to talk about this Memphis situation where they're offering loads of money to the Big 12. And they said, you guys are disgusting. Why would anyone want to go to that crappy stadium?
I saw a tweet, and I can't remember who it was that posted it, but they said, like, offering $200 million to be somebody's friend, and they tell you no is a tough look.
I mean, I get it to some extent, because there is the element where you go, well, that seems like a no-brainer to just take all their money, and then you can say, see ya after a couple years, and nothing bad happens. But there's a part of me that kind of is like, yeah, I don't really want the Big 12 to be associated with Memphis. Like, get him out of here. Who needs him? But we'll talk about that, and we'll dive into it a little bit more when we talk on Thursday. And then after that, we'll have gotten an idea of what's going on with K-State and their fall camp situation. So a lot to get to throughout the week. Then we end it with KSO Classic on Friday, looking at the 2002 Holiday Bowl. So for Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching and listening to the KSO Show. Like and subscribe. Do all that generic YouTube stuff that people tell you to do. It does unfortunately help us. I hate to be a beggar on that. I think that's just, it sucks, but I got to try and be a good YouTuber occasionally, I guess. Ugh, feel weird and gross doing it, Drew. I really do. Sorry for begging, people. Just keep watching or don't. It's your call. See ya.